Please turn to Colossians 1:15 through 17 in your Bible, or turn to page 954 in the Bibles provided for you. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. You may be seated. The children may go to children's church.
As we go through different books of the Bible, in between books, I usually do general preaching on Jesus, the Bible, prayer. And today we're doing one on Jesus. And what I've said I'm going to do is bring up different things that help us to learn. And I told you about the Bible Project last week, BibleProject.com, or you can go to YouTube. And they break down the Bible story and help you to understand it, whether it's book by book or themes. Well, this is another one. It's the www.spokengospel.com. It's similar, set up a little different. It's something you can use, like when you're studying your Bible. Sometimes it's nice to have some other things that some people don't like that. I like watching the videos. Everybody has their own different things that helps them to learn. So this is another thing that you can use to learn your Bible and grow in your faith. Because as I said last week and we'll say this week, the Bible is our best revelation, our best description, our best picture of who Jesus Christ is. And to know Scripture is to learn about Jesus. And to grow in our faith, we must all know Christ. Let us bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, Lord, we pray that we would know you and know you better. Lord, that we would know Christ crucified, Christ resurrected. It would be in our hearts, be in our soul, Lord, that we would live for you. But Lord, in order to live for you, we must know who you are and the hope you have. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. About every 2 years, I like to show these pictures of Jesus. They're different ones you'll find. And it's been 2 years, so I figure it's due. Some of you will remember these, and some of you are new. It'll be the first time. But this, for those of you who don't know, is white Jesus. And so obviously, this is black Jesus. Look kind of like Morgan Freeman. And of course, you have to have Asian Jesus. And then we have the Gentleman's Quarterly, the model Jesus. He's a model. GQ Jesus. Of course, not to be outdone, you have GA Jesus. Guns and Ammo Jesus. Hard to believe these are all Jesus. And then you got hipster Jesus. He doesn't need glasses, but he wears glasses because it makes him look hip. And you'll find him at your local coffee shop drinking only organically grown, friendly coffee bean coffee. And then you got the King James Jesus. I grew up with the King James Jesus. And then, of course, you got the friendly Jesus. You don't have to confess your sins. He's just cool with everything. Kind of like cool Jesus. He's the Jesus we all want him to be and doesn't care what we do. It's all thumbs up. And then lastly, National Geographic came up with their view of Jesus, and I prefer to call him Caveman Jesus. That's just a bad picture of Jesus. If I'd be Jesus, I'd be going after National Geographic. So the question is, who is the real Jesus? Everybody likes Jesus, the one they've made in their own image. This is probably maybe a much more accurate picture of who Jesus is. We don't get to decide who Jesus is. We don't get to put Jesus in a box and make him after our own image. We are to conform our image to his. And I would admit to you, as we read this scripture this morning, some of it is very clear cut, while others is still a mystery, and I would say beyond the comprehension of humanity. Colossians 1, verses 15. The Son, that's Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Now, right away, some people are going to have some real trouble with this one line, because God is invisible. No one has ever seen God, you will read. But in the Old Testament, you'll see where people say, we saw God and we lived. If you're really being fundamentalistic and just straight on words or words, that's contradictory. But like when we say when the sun rises, we don't really mean the sun rises. We understand the earth is rotating. So when they said we saw God and we lived, they saw merely an image of him on earth, because you can't see God. If he comes down as the angel of the Lord, you're seeing God, but really only a part of him. Moses saw the back of God. And how is that metaphorical? But truly the whole nature of God, a God who's everywhere, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, all-powerful, all-seeing, all-knowing, you can't see him. And he's everywhere doesn't mean he's in everything. He is separate from creation. And Jesus is his image. In fact, that you'd say Jesus came down to earth and fully represented God. All the fullness of the deity, of the divine God, lived in Christ. And then it says he's the firstborn over all creation. Again, you probably never thought much about this, but Jehovah's Witnesses, this is a big verse. They will tell you, because of this verse, Jesus Christ is created. He is not fully God. He has the most preeminence of all creation. He is the first of all creation, but he is a created being and was not always. Because, again, literally it says firstborn. Firstborn means firstborn, right? I didn't hear an amen, and you're going to be glad you didn't. Because firstborn generally means firstborn, but in their culture, and you have to understand it was written for them, it was written to them in their language, in their understanding. It's written for all of us, all of humanity, but we have to understand it was written to them first, but for all of us. It's using their language and understanding. And firstborn, kind of metaphorically speaking, was a title. Now, whether it's fair or not, in that society, much of the ancient world, the firstborn son got a disproportionate share of the inheritance. I mean, it didn't matter if you were number two boy or number seven boy or number one girl. First son got a disproportionate amount. It was an honored position. You would be the next patriarch. Not saying it's fair, it's the way it worked, and they understood that. All other scripture talks about Jesus always being, and so the firstborn is a title. It's not so woodenly literal. Jesus was not created, but he does have honor and privilege among all. He is Christ incarnate, God in flesh, and preeminent. And showing who he is above all, because it says in verse 16, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him." This might kind of surprise you when you read the book of Genesis. You don't see the name Jesus. But it says he was there and he created. And that gets into the issue of the Trinity. That gets into the mystery of Christ, the Father, the Son, the Godhead, the triune God. Some of it's just beyond our comprehension. I would say this is a clear text that indicates the Trinity, the triune God, and goes back into the Old Testament. Sometimes you'll read where people say, said, let us make God in our image. And people say that's Trinitarian. It's probably not. It would be true, but I'm not sure that's what it's referencing to. But when it takes Christ and it says he created all things, we see him going all the way back to the very beginning. He wasn't created, but he created all things. And it says, He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. That without the power of Christ, His manifest, empowering Holy Spirit, it's like our world and our society would utterly crumble. So He has the very nature of God. So we use the term triune God or Trinitarian. And so Christ isn't created. The Father isn't created. The Holy Spirit isn't created. Well, how does that work? I can't understand it. Because people say, well, you say God made everything. Where does God come from? And I'd say, where does the universe come from? If you don't believe in God, you still have the same question. Where did anything come from? Well, the universe always was. Well, God always was. Can you really imagine always being, never not having been? It gives me a headache thinking about it. Always eternal. The triune God always existed. Never a time when there was not. And so you'd almost say, well, there was no time. And it's hard for us to comprehend no time. But He was always before everything and created everything. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. Again, we now understand that firstborn from among the dead. What does that have to do with being firstborn? But if it's a title of preeminence, it's all the people that rose from the dead. It's all because of Jesus Christ. So that in everything He might have supremacy. He is the head of the body of the church. This is why we often use the term, the church is the body of Christ. All the different parts, our church here, the round church Nazarene down the street, all the churches in our community, across the globe, we are all the body of Christ. We have different denominations, different churches, different beliefs within Scripture. But we're all the body of Christ. It's a metaphor. And it says He's the head of the body. Now, we tend to think hierarchical, like He's in charge. And that's really true to a point. In our society, our words head kind of means in charge. Not so much in their world. And think about it, the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, there's no hierarchy. They're different, they're all God, and they're all in charge. There's no hierarchy in the Trinity. You know, we use that term, God, the Father is the first person, Jesus is the second person, the Holy Spirit's the third person. And so what do we think as Americans? First, second, third. It's not how it works. And I really don't like that terminology. I don't know where it really comes from. And then look at Jesus from Philippians, who being in the very nature God, He's God, Jesus, did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage. He didn't come and say, I'm God. Everybody sit down and listen to me. I'm the senior pastor here. No, it's not what He said. Rather, He made Himself nothing by taking the very nature of a slave. Some of your Bibles might say servant. It's the word slave. Not a paid servant. Not a maid servant. Slave. Being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. You see, He kind of gives up the hierarchy. He's obviously above and beyond us. He's in charge. And He demonstrates that, but the first will be last. And if you're senior anything, senior pastor, senior elder, senior executive, you should be senior servant, senior slave, the first to lay down your life, the first to give, the first to serve. And it can also mean source. It's like, Christ is the source of where the church comes from. like the head of a river. That's probably not as a common term for them, but it makes sense. Without Christ, there is no church. There's no body of Christ without Christ. So he's the head of the body. He's the beginning. He's the firstborn. The first to rise. That we can't rise from the grave unless he rose first. He's our salvation. And he has supremacy over everything. And yet he still, again, it's difficult to explain, difficult to understand, gives us free will to mess up our own lives, mess up our own nation, mess up our own globe. He is the head, the source of the body of the church. The biggest term is, though, he is preeminent. He is over all. So that in everything he might have supremacy. You know, it's a trichotomy. He's the servant. He's the authority. He's preeminent. He's the only begotten Son of God. And then in verse 19, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So he's given credit as God, but he's not the Father. And sometimes it gets confusing with terminology, because when we think of the Father, we think of God. Kind of meld those two together. But the Father is God, but he's not Jesus. God, the Trinity, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, have all their fullness dwell in him. So Christ is fully God. He's not just some Superman, some super powerful, more spirit-filled than all of us. Again, he's fully God. And he's going to reconcile to himself all things. He's going to bring peace and reconciliation. Where there's division, where there's arguing, where there's fighting, where things are split, he's the only one that can fix it. If some of you work in certain shops that have unions and have arbitration and different things like that, you hope union and management can work together. Or you hope if an arbitrator can come in, he can help fix the divide. And I've worked in those situations, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But Christ will bring ultimate reconciliation between humanity and God. God is so far beyond us, the triune God, but Christ brings us in. So, the word Trinity or triune God is not found in the New Testament. And people sometimes will bring that up. I would say the Trinity is the best description. The word triune God is the best description of what we see. Now, I'm not talking about the folk music group, but if you were to ask Peter, Paul, and Mary, Peter, disciple, Paul, write a lot of New Testament, and you can pick which Mary you want. There's Mary of Martha, Mary of Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus. There's a lot of Marys. But Peter, Paul, and Mary, if you said, well, we believe in the Trinity, they would say, what are you talking about? I have never heard that word Trinity or triune God. What is wrong with you people? Are you adding to Scripture? Are you heretics? And we'd say, no. We believe. Well, where do you get this word Trinity from? Well, we're Americans and we like to have words for everything. We like to label everything. So what we believe is, we believe there's God. We might call it the Godhead. And you've heard this before and you'll hear it again. So someday when somebody asks you to explain the Trinity, you'll say, I remember that sermon because he gave it five times. I was getting bored. I only get to the point where you're like, you can start repeating it as I'm preaching it. Because this is tough for Christians. I remember as a kid. But the Father is not the Son, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the Father or Jesus. But the Father and the Holy Spirit are both God. Jesus is not the Father. Jesus is not the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is God. And the Holy Spirit isn't just an energy source like plugging into electricity. The Holy Spirit is a person like Jesus and the Father. So Jesus is not the Father, not the Holy Spirit, and he's still God. That's the best way to explain it. I know of really no other way. There's analogies, and the other best one probably is like water. Because water has three states. Water can be froze, it's still H2O, or HOH. Water can be liquid, it's still H2O. And water can be steam, H2O. And they are drastically different things, but they're all water. Now, of course, they can't be that way at the same time, and water's not sentient or alive. You can't ask water what 2 + 2 is. Well, you can, you're just not going to get an answer. You know, one will give you a freeze burn, one will give you a steam burn, one will drown you. But I mean, that's kind of one of the best analogies. You know, and you've heard probably the egg analogy, the shell, the yolk, the white, or like I'm a man, I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm a friend. You know, it's all still me. I'm not your father, I'm my daughter's father. I'm not your husband, I'm my wife's husband. I might be your friend. All analogies eventually break down or somewhat heresy. But if you ever want to understand how Jesus works, Jesus Christ is not the Father. He is not the Holy Spirit. He is still God, just like the Holy Spirit and just like the Father. So you can leave here repeating that, mumbling to yourself, so you fully understand it. And if you were to ask Peter, Paul, and Mary, they'd say, oh, okay, I agree and I believe that. We don't use the word Trinity, but if you have to, you have to. You know, a person's got to do what a person's got to do. And that's how we would say it. And now you'll hear different things. I've heard people say, well, I just prayed to the Holy Spirit. I could find my keys. And you know, the Holy Spirit's really gracious, but I'm going to get one of those little tags that you stick to it, and you can beep it on your phone. I lose everything. You know, if I set my glasses down and don't remember where they are, I'm in trouble. Because I can't seem to find them. So I have to pray to God, the Father, to Jesus, to the Holy Spirit to help find my glasses. Generally, the example in Scripture is you pray to the Father in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit and the name and character, the grace of Jesus. But if you pray to Jesus instead of the Father or to God, or just say Lord so you're covered, you know. Now, by Lord, do you mean God the Father or do you mean Jesus? He knows. If you're just praying, it's good. And I've kind of heard people talk about and argue about that, which one we should pray for. If you're praying, I'm fine. It's kind of like arguing, which Bible version? You're reading the Bible, I'm happy. If you like King James, go baby go. If you like the New Living Translation, I'm glad you're reading. So pray. So if you found Peter, Paul, and Mary, if we could have this imaginary conversation and you talk Trinity, they would look at you kind of funny. Besides the language barrier, they spoke Aramaic and we speak English, but... and you mention the word Trinity, they would just look at you funny, and then if you explained it, they'd say, oh yeah, that's what we believe too. And it said, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. You read that in full. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth, things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. You've heard me say this is the Missio Dei. That's the word, Latin word for the sentness of God. The Trinity, the triune God, sits in eternal beyond space and time and sends Jesus, God incarnate, to this earth. And in the same way, we are to be sent to the people on this globe, people in our community. We are sent out in the same way the Trinity sent Jesus. We're emulating what God would do. I've heard this story one time, And this is kind of close to home because we've had two birds trapped in this building recently. And I work at a little warehouse where we have our warehouse ministry, and there's a break in the glass, and we've gotten birds in. And guess what? The birds can't get out. I'm just like, okay, little brain, you got in here. Do you have any memory of how you got in? Because please go out that way and stop messing up our church. Please. And I read this thing, what you do is you kind of turn all the lights off, and then you open a door where the light is, and they'll go that way. Good luck. And so the analogy was, I heard a guy say, he's like, you know, I'm thinking this too. If only I could become a bird, I would show them how to get out of here. Because you know what's going to happen to them? They're going to make a mess of stuff. Oh, in our warehouse, it's ugly. It's terrible. You know, you're trying to give somebody a sofa and there's bird poop on it. They're going to starve. There's no food in there. They'll probably dehydrate. It's a terrible way to die. They're doomed. And they don't listen to me. Shoo, look, the window. Look at the window. And they're like, who's that idiot babbling to us? What if I could become a bird? Join them and show them that hole in the glass where they came out. Only God knows how they're getting in here. So if I became that bird, I'd be lost. But at least if I found the way out, they'd follow me. Or if somebody opened the door, they'd follow me. But, you know, the analogy is, if I could become a bird, I could save them. And that's what Christ did. We're lost without him. We can't save ourselves. We think we can. We're just a bunch of birds in the warehouse. We're going to die of starvation and dehydration. Because it says, once you were alienated from God, were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. And then we think we can save ourselves in that warehouse, save ourselves as birds, and we are doomed. As Christians, we believe in salvation in Christ alone, through his blood. It is a mystery. I will tell you what Scripture says, and it's kind of difficult to understand, but what we know, the creations of God, we were never meant to sin. We were never meant to die. Now, if you believe in evolution, that's a whole different story. But as creations of God, we are not just molecular biochemical animals. We're not just different than a robot in that it's electrical and inorganic and we're organic with electrical. No, we are creation of God. We are different. We're different than all the rest of creation. Even the rest of inanimate objects, and even from other animal kinds, because we are made in the image of God, unlike any other creation. And when we sin, we die. Sin brings death. And I'm looking out over all of you. And some of you I've known for 10 years, and this might come as a shock, but you've aged. Some of you guys are a little more pudgy than you were before. Maybe you should look at makeup. There's this stuff for your hair on gray, you know, stuff for that. You're aging, and it's because you're a sinner. You're saved by grace, but you're not perfect. We are all sinners, and sin brings death. It just does. I don't understand how that works in the economy of God. And God's answer for us is to have Jesus, the sentence of God, come to this earth and die a death that only God could do in the form of Jesus Christ, that takes all our deaths away. We're going to die, but he died once and for all for us. His blood was shed, his body was broken for us. And then in his death, even though we'll all die, we'll be raised for life eternal. Because if we die with him, we'll live with him. And how does his death, how does that happen on the cross where all the pain and sin of humanity goes on Christ and he takes it from us? I don't understand it. But all those who call on the name of the Lord will have eternal life and saved from damnation. Damnation and wrath is unpopular words. And like I've said before, people are mad that God doesn't deal with evil. Why is there evil in the world? Why doesn't God take care of it? And then when he does take care of evil and there's wrath and damnation, then we're mad at him for doing it. But because of his death, we are saved from damnation and hell. We're saved from wrath. Because there's only hope. The only way to live is for someone to die and take our place. It's as if we're at court, we're getting the death penalty, and Jesus walks up and says, put me in the electric chair. Give me the lethal injection. Put the noose around my neck. Crucify me instead of them. And Christ brings justice for all and brings hope. Now, this is kind of a complicated sermon about who Jesus Christ is, but it's important to know some of these basics in the Trinity. And I hope you can leave here. If someone asks you what the Trinity is, you can just babble that off. Even if you get close. Because, you know, you'll hear, one of the first things you'll hear from some Muslims is, you guys worship three gods. That makes no sense. I would say, yes, we worship one God, and it is beyond my comprehension and yours. Basically, the whole idea of God, whether it's Allah or Yahweh, God, it's really beyond comprehension. It is. So a Trinity is just as beyond comprehension as anything else. And you understand that. We are called to serve Jesus Christ. We are called to be his disciples. We are called to be the aroma of Christ to a world that is in deep need. We are called to be ambassadors. You know what you do when you're an ambassador? If you're an ambassador to France, you don't stay here. Well, you can, but you'll probably get fired. You don't go to Germany. You don't go to Italy. You go to France and you represent us as a people to the French people. We are citizens of heaven. When we declare Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are citizens of heaven and we are ambassadors on this globe. I don't care if you were born in Coffeyville, plan on dying in Coffeyville, living here in between. This is only a temporary home and you are an ambassador here representing Jesus Christ to the people living in this community. And the best way to know who Jesus Christ is, the best way to have Christ revealed in your heart is through Scripture. We showed those pictures because some people just love Jesus. And I'm like, which Jesus do you love? Because you don't even have an idea of who Jesus is except for Scripture. There is some extra biblical writings out there, evidence, but it doesn't give you much detail. And so people want to take the Jesus of the Bible and mold him into their own image to be cool, to be hip. But the best revelation, the best description, the best understanding of our life in Christ is revealed in Scripture. So whether it's obvious and sometimes easy to understand or it's beyond all human comprehension, we embrace the mystery of Christ. We serve Him. And I pray that we would die with Him in order that we can live with Him and walk in eternity, because we believe in salvation in Christ alone, and to take that message to our community, our town, our nation, and our globe. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we study your word, as we look at Christ revealed in our hearts, Lord, make him new again. Refresh us, Father. Lord, some of the things here were kind of technical and can be difficult to understand, Lord. But let us be willing to dig in and learn. Lord, let us be willing to be your ambassador, your aroma to a world and to a town here that is in deep need of you. Lord, let us be your ambassadors. Let your word rule and reign in our hearts. Reveal yourself to us. Open the eyes of our heart, Lord. Give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better. We pray this, Father God, our Creator, empowered by your Holy Spirit, in the name and character of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. As we close today, we'll close in prayer and song. And if you've never made a commitment to Jesus Christ of the Bible, to follow Him, to worship Him, to be a disciple of Him, to be His ambassador, visit with me today or reach out online as we close in prayer and song. Reading from 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. Lord, the Lord be with you all. Amen and amen. Therefore, let us go in peace, sharing God's love, making disciples. Amen.